By then, it had really completely changed. The fields had opened up. There was a real sense of design that was beginning across this landscape. There was not the sense of everything, you know, like just dropped off the truck and set up right there with no relationship to the woods or to the fields. And I think that had changed completely. And as I put the pieces up, of course, the irony was that one of the pieces that had been in Brooklyn, that had been in Prospect Park, was one of the pieces that I had to store up there, and it was Marianne Moore. So Marianne Moore finally did arrive in Storm King, the same piece that is now down in Washington, D.C., and it arrived, and in between that piece and the other, I think there were five pieces that were there, there was suddenly a group of pieces outdoors of a size in a landscape relationship, a kind of community, because the sculptures echo off of each other when you have several of them. And they did this thing that I realized that I loved and that it was a part of my idea of all city shows. And they had a relationship to the landscape, and it was what I had really tried for. And then we had that landscape architect that drove me nuts because he said, well, there's going to be a road over there, we have to move it. And so I would have to go there and move another 20-ton piece of sculpture, and they're never very easy to do. So I did all of that, but it was a relationship that had to do with the way that the David Smiths were in Bolton Landing. It was that same thing. The scale was different. My pieces were larger. The sweep was different. And David had them all lined up together, but they had a sense of forest to them at that time. Now they're all gone from Bolton Landing. Bolton Landing has been, is gone as a multitude of sculptures. But my respect hasn't gone for David. With the equipment that I have, I'm able to be above the piece and look down onto the pieces. And for pieces that end up on a plaza next to a skyscraper, most of the time people will be looking down on it. So that somebody like Tom Hess, who is, I think, a great art critic, and he was really inspired, He was amazed at understanding the structural basis of that movement because he was above it, standing near the columns, looking down on it. That's one of the things that Storm King does. It gives you visions of the piece that normally you can't have in a studio. Distance visions, visions with landscape through the piece and things like that. Like the David von Schlegel or the good, the beautiful Lieberman, which you can really only see when the dogwood is in flower around it. At that moment, that red becomes so brilliant as you go through it. You just feel that kind of inflamed moment of life, beauty in springtime, giving that push right through the sculpture. Those are great moments, you know, like, and we live for them. They kind of redeem our existence. They give us the exaltation that is the value of what living is. It's that spiritual moment of that intensity, and of course it comes from, you know, like that work that is the sculptor's work of building to the vision. And the vision is so important. And of course, in this society, they don't value it. But the building of the vision, the capacity that the younger generation can come to have that imaginative vision, is like essential for value, for the relationship between human beings. And that's the only way we're going to exist as a species. Otherwise, we're going to end up with all these militarists building more bombs, more planes to bomb other people, more hate in the world, and that is a vision of death. My work really depends upon an idea of structure, of color structure, of the understanding of the human symbolic structures of language, of mathematics, of art, of dreams, of religion. Each of those are constructs that human beings do. And by those constructs, we relate to each other, we know each other, and thereby we know ourselves. It's a very strange thing that it seems that no other animal does. We have known structure to the limit, human beings have learned about structure to the limits where we can destroy immensely, you know, like nuclear bombs, so we can kill huge amounts of people, which is the horrible part. And the other part is that people can live also at 60 stories high, which, you know, like no other animal can do. We can, because we have understood the structure of Newtonian action and reaction, jet motors, we can fly faster than any bird, we can run faster than any animal, we can dive deeper than any fish can do. You know, like we can do all of these things as human beings, and it has to do with structure. So I like to make the works, and I have liked more and more to make my sculptures works where the structure is so evident. And it is a structure, I hope, deeply related to the sensation of life. Peter Stern has done is he's taken this landscape architect who tortured me, but who built something that is fabulous. He understood that this itself was a work of art as a totality in which my pieces and other pieces, David von Schlegel, Robert Grosvenor, the pieces that came, Wotruba, David Smith, Ursula von Reitingsfarr, acted together in a musical way. I think that the root of Peter Stern's vision and capacity, where he amplified what Ted Ogden had seen and had responded to in an innocent way, Peter Stern, in a very intelligent but musical way, has done to the part. The essential part of Peter Stern is that he is a violinist who loves and respects Beethoven's quartets. Beethoven's quartets are incredible exploration of human spiritual dignity in face of anguish. Beethoven was made deaf just at the height of his career, and his quartets do this reflection of it. There is a book that's called The Spiritual Development of Beethoven, written by a mathematician called Sullivan. And I think that Peter Stern really knows it. They are tremendously difficult quartets to play. But the sense of music in that moment, that man takes, Beethoven, takes the loss of that one thing that he had, which was his music. And it was music at, I mean, he becomes deaf around the fifth symphony. It was music of such power, suddenly he lost it, couldn't hear it anymore. And I think that Peter Stern understood that, and he was able to work with the landscape, with the artists, with the choice of the works, with a certain sense of editing and expansion. And what he's made is something, along with David Collins, he's made something that is very beautiful, and it's a team that has worked up there for 25 years that I've known, and they've really like changed what the world of outdoor sculpture is like.